Okay, now we go for the final segment of our program. Roughly about 5 minutes left. Let's look at the questions and answers. Mufti Saab, somebody sending a very interesting question. How does one calculate the price of labor from an Islamic point of view? You know, in the country, they now have this minimum labor, etc. So from an Islamic point of view, the person is asking, how does he charge for the labor that he's doing? So he gives an example. He says, I'm a mechanic and I will be charging a difference if I have to fix a Porsche and if I have to fix an old car, you know. So then we are difference in my price. What is the Islamic view on this?
So let us look at the core values from an Islamic point of view. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam exhorted us to consider a number of factors. One is that a dinu and nasiha, that you always have to be a well-wisher for the consumer, look at that person's good interest. Also, greed should never overtake our emotions and our pockets. We should never be opportunistic, waiting to capitalize on the desperation of another person or the naivety of the other person. So well-wishing and fairness should be our guide, and we will certainly secure barakah and happiness in our dealings. Now, in the example that you gave of, you know, working on an old car and working on a Porsche, labor pricing will be according to the general market rate for a service provided, whether it is the service quality, the professionalism, the turnaround time, the efficiency, the intricacy of the work, and other basic factors will affect the pricing structure. Therefore, charges levied for servicing a Porsche in relation to an old car, naturally for the Porsche you will charge more. It's more intricate. There's a greater degree of professionalism or qualification that will be needed for that. So you can take all of those things into consideration. So basically, when you charge people, it should be market related. It should not be governed by greed. It should not be that you want to capitalize on the naivety of a person, or that you're exploiting the desperation of a person. Be market related. And keep in mind be a well-wisher to the person and charge the person, keeping those factors in mind.
Okay, the person is asking, can I hire out a home at what would be considered to be lower than market rental on the condition that the tenant will take care of maintenance, rates and taxes, levies and special levies?
So when you have purchased a particular property, then the issue of maintenance, levies, rates and tax is your responsibility. You've got to pay that. And when you hire out that, you hire out the property and the person pays the services for that. But according to the Islamic system, it is not permissible for you to put those responsibilities on the tenant. Even if you're going to bring down the price, those responsibilities remained on you, and you have to take care of that. It is against the grain of Islamic transaction that you put those responsibilities, the issue of maintenance and repairing expenses and all of that, on the tenant. And in your case, we obviously see that, you perhaps thinking that I just have this thing, I'll give the hire it out, the person will take care of everything and I'll have hassle-free money. I'll just get my lower than the market rate, but I'll just get that money, then I don't have to worry about rates and tax and maintenance. You need to understand that there's nothing that is hassle-free in this world. There's no way that you as a landlord can hire property out and be hassle-free. You need to understand it comes with its responsibility. So we would advise you that you can tell the person to collect the rental, to pay all those dues, and the remaining to give it to you. That would be fine. And that is what generally is an arrangement that estate agents do. So you hire an estate agent, they collect the rental, they charge you a fee for that, they charge you, they take care of all of that, and they give you the remaining. That type of agreement would be permissible.
Okay, is it permissible to rent out business premises to a non-Muslim that wants to open a butchery? Obviously, the meat sold would not be halal as he's a non-Muslim. Kindly advise.
It is permissible to rent out your property to a non-Muslim who sells meat. If he sells haram meat, that is his business, and you're not obliged. That person is not obliged by the ahkam of the Sharia. So that would not be in any way, you would not be implicated in that. So there would be nothing wrong with that. The rent that you would receive from this would be halal.
Okay, now the person is saying, I performed accounting function services for an estate agent. He's hassling to pay. He now comes up with an excuse that subject to the auditor approving the financials, will he pay? He may then place a similar condition to the auditor stating that if the estate agent's board grants him the certificate to trade, will he pay them? What is the Sharia ruling on this type of situation?
So basically, what he's saying is... It's not permissible for him to withhold him paying you your services. And if you would like to, you know, hold back documents until you get your wages or your fees from that person, that would be permissible for you. To hold back the documents and say, no, until you don't pay me, I'm not going to give you these documents, that would be permissible from you.
Okay, JazakAllah for that, Muftizab. I think it's already hit the hour of 10. Let's leave it as there. Inshallah, we'll continue next week.
Inshallah, we make dua. Allah gives us the ability to practice on anything. Allah continues to guide us and keep us on the straight path.
I mean, with that, we terminate this week's program. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.